General Motors on Safari. Here is adventure. Excitement. And danger. Bringing you the African bushveld of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on Safari.
Quite frequently in the daily press appear reports about the wanton poaching and killing of our big game. The animals of this land are a national heritage, and as such should be and are safeguarded. Nevertheless, there are still those, black and white, who for the sake of personal gain or through a streak of sadistic cruelty must kill or maim. It is an unwritten law that if you wound an animal, you follow that animal, irrespective of personal risk, until you find him and can kill him. There are many who do not observe this rule. Is it that they are unable to drive their trucks into the thick bush after the wounded game? Or is it perhaps that they are afraid to descend from their armored towers and meet their quarry face to face where he can see them? A lion kills to eat, not for fun. Unless, of course, he's been maimed by man. Then he becomes a rogue and will kill indiscriminately. It is the same with the mighty elephant. And it is about an elephant and a man that I'm going to tell you tonight. I'm grateful to that well-known author, Stuart Clutie, for the facts of my tale. One he called The Bullet. Maputo Smith came to Africa just after the First Great War. First to Kenya, then Rhodesia. After that, he traded for a while in Swaziland, eventually drifting into Portuguese East via Tongaland and over the Maputo. That was how he gained his name, because when they asked him where he'd come from, he always said Maputo. His real name was Smith, but no one believed him. It's hard for a man to be Smith or Jones in the wilder places of the earth. It sounds like an alibi in the bush, and a bad one at that. However, let us join him as he sits one evening on the stoop of his house, overlooking the vast concession that had been granted to him in Mozambique. Let us hear his story in his own words.
Yes, that was how I got my name. I've been here nearly 30 years now, ever since they granted me my concession. A concession of well over 120,000 acres. On it I breed 2,000 odd head of cattle. They can graze where they wish, and even further. There's no fence for 500 miles, not until you get over the border into the Transvaal. As I sit staring out over my farm, I can see the mountains in the distance. They're included in my concession. I wonder how many men own their own horizon. It's evening now, the hour that the Shangans call the time when all things are beautiful. It's getting dark now. The spotted bull is only a dark grey shape, and the leaves and spears of the agaves are black against the sky. A sky that's pale indigo, faintly pierced with the first stars. The sun has sunk into Africa.
Thank you.
Maputo clapped his hands, and his boy brought him his evening drink. The boy who had been playing Avalon had stopped. A nightjar swooped past the stoop screaming. Another day had gone by, and his boy was still there, standing with his hands loosely in front of him.
Well, what is it?
It is a boy, senor.
A boy?
Yes, senor.
Oh, what does he want?
Oh, to see the senor.
What for?
He wants something.
Well, what does he want?
He wants a bullet, senor.
Now, what's he going to shoot?
An elephant, senor.
With one bullet?
It is shot, senor, but it does not die.
Wounded?
Si, senor.
How does he know he can get it? Where's it wounded?
In the leg, senor, on the knee.
Cruel shot. And why does he come to me?
Oh, the senor is the father of the Shangat.
Yeah, so it would seem, if they want something.
Senor, is it not natural for the man who is cold to come near the fire, senor?
Bring him here.
Si, senor.
Ah, greetings, Lord.
Ah. What of the elephant?
It lives, Lord. It lives for many days. It is a porcupine whose quills are spears. It stands holding on to a great tree with its trunk. About it are all the men trying to kill it. The women and dogs stand waiting for meat, but it will not die.
Well, what is your name?
Mfuzi, Lord.
And what kind of bullet do you want?
Like this, Lord. This bullet I came upon by chance.
Yeah, a 1075? You mean you stole it?
I found it, Lord.
And the gun?
The gun belongs to my brother.
You lie.
I could not lie to the senor.
You are Senor Carlson's boy.
I have no master.
You are his boy. I see it here. I have Muti to read in the shining brass. I see Senor Carlson is singing to himself, as he often does, that tune you were playing. He gives you a gun and shells. He says, go kill elephants and get me ivory. But you were idle. There are few elephants, but there are many buck. There are Congoni, there are elands, and Nyala, and buffaloes. Then you hear that the senor is coming. Also, that elephants are near. But you only have one bullet left. This is the one. This empty shell is the one you used. You used the knee shot, to be certain, hoping that you could finish it off with assegais and muzzle loaders charged with black powder. But you could not. And so, because you are afraid, you have come to me.
Lord.
Speak.
The Lord is a wizard. The Lord knows all.
I am a great wizard. I even know how the elephant stands. I see the very tree, the women, the dogs. I see a woman in a red-checked capulana. She has a piccanin with white beads in its hair. It has a new tooth in the upper jaw.
Oh.
I see a yellow dog, and a white dog, and a black dog, and a dog that is both black and white. I see vultures in the air. I hear hyenas. I see men with empty hands. Their spears and arrows are all in the skin of the elephant. He makes a roaring sound in his throat. He cannot trumpet because he holds the tree with his trunk.
It is as the Lord says. It is all as he says. The Lord is a great wizard. The Lord will give Mfuzi a bullet, please.
I am a great wizard. But there is one thing I did not see when I sent my spirit on its journey to the elephant. I could not see its teeth. How big, Mfuzi, are the tusks of this bull?
They're big, Lord.
I see.
The bullet, Lord?
The bullet? It is against the law to give bullets to a native, as well you know. But at dawn, we go to slay the elephant. Been hard to do. Among all the women, one at least would be wearing a red check, and there were bound to be babies, Native women were never without them. And among them, at least one must be cutting a tooth in the upper jaw and therefore wearing a few white beads as a charm twisted into its curly hair. The rest, the vultures, hyenas, and dogs were bound to be there too. But to the native, deduction was miraculous, the basis of all wizardry. So, Miles Carlson was poaching again. I wondered what the outcome would be this time. I'd thrashed him once before, and I despised him, and he hated me. Only time would tell. It took us 2 days to get to the elephant. The kraals were empty as we passed through. It was the same everywhere. From all the villages, all the people had gone to the death scene. It was at noon on the following day that we reached the place. It was as Mfuzi had described it. As I approached, the elephant was swaying on 3 legs, his sides plastered with dark brown dried blood. He stood holding onto the fork of a great grey-leaved hardakul. The ground around him was stamped flat, trodden into a hard, blood-darkened floor. I went nearer. He looked like a porcupine quilled with assegais and arrows. They stuck out all over him, quivering as he swayed. The sight was one of the most strange and terrible I'd ever seen.
Look, Lord, that is where I shot him.
I can see. It makes me sick.
Kill! Kill, Lord! Kill him, for we are hungry! Kill! Kill, Lord! Kill him, for we are hungry! Kill! Kill, Lord! Kill him, for we are hungry! Kill! Kill, Lord! Kill him!
Elephant has taken too long to die. We want meat, and we want to go. We want our assegais back that are stuck in him. Shoot, Lord! Shoot!
I moved nearer. He was very close now. He looked at me out of his agate yellow eye. I would be the last thing he would see of all the things he had seen in his life of 50 or perhaps 70 years or more. The last thing would be a white man raising the muzzle of a 1075. A white man circled by natives. All silent. All holding their breaths. I aimed between his eye and ear. The eye watched me, staring into the muzzle of the rifle, into the sights, along the barrel, and into my own eye. He'd ceased to moan. He, too, was breathless, as if he knew it was the end. Nothing moved, except a circling vulture whose shadow came for an instant between me and the sun and made a black splash on the bare, tramped ground. Soon there'd be plenty of vultures. My finger tightened on the trigger. Inside the rifle, the trigger spring was being compressed. The striker was back, poised, but still held. The skill of 100 gunsmiths, of inventors, of miners, of walnut growers and stock carvers, of engravers, was all drawn together in this moment, all conspiring to cause the death of an animal they'd never seen, a beast born in the forest when their grandfathers had been babies in arms. Rushed forward, yelling and brandishing their knives. Swarming onto the body, they pulled out the assegais, each fighting to save his own, and then cut into the meat.
The dogs ran forward to lick the blood. The women shouted encouragement to their men. The children shouted, laughed, and screamed. In an orgy of sound and a welter of blood, covered by men as if they were ants, a living monument had fallen. Something that had lived a half century was dead.
Look, Lord, the tail of the elephant. I have cut him off.
The Lord is displeased?
Not displeased, Mfuzi. I was just thinking. He was an elephant, more than an animal, perhaps more than a man. A monument and a mystery. A symbol. He represents time and mass. An elephant is, even when you see it, even if you know these animals well, something inconceivable. Something no man can invent in his mind or really believes in. I don't suppose you understand one word I'm talking about, huh?
No, Lord.
Oh, never mind. Bring me some of the fatty meat that is behind the elephant's eye, for I'm hungry.
Yes, Lord. The Lord is not going?
No, Mfuzi. I shall stay for the ivory. 100 escudos a kilo. 10 shillings a pound, roughly. I'll give you 10 pounds. The rest I shall keep. I had hoped the tusks would be bigger.
The tusks are good, Lord.
Not good enough. Certainly not good enough to kill for.
He's dead.
He might not have been. He might have lived on in pain and fear and hatred of man. He might have become a rogue and devastated villages, destroyed crops and killed harmless women working in their gardens. No. You hadn't thought of that, had you?
No, Lord.
No. Neither had your master, Senor Carlson. Kill, poach, rob, anything, but never think.
Fuzzy, sorry, Lord.
I very much doubt that you are, but... Well, it's not really your fault. Go. Go and get me food.
Yes, Lord.
Hour after hour, the scene continued. Each hour a repetition of the last, yet always the same. All that changed was the bulk of the elephant. It diminished as the meat was sliced from it. The dogs grew greater as they gorged on stolen bits. More and more people came. More and more women left, bearing their gory burdens on their heads. Maputo sat a little apart, eating his food. He watched the cutters at work, the hacking of the axe cutting at the tusks, back at the roots in the skull. Then he began to think of Carlson. He wondered what he would say when he heard. He'd hear all right, by bush telegraph, as the news was called from hill to hill, passed from village to village.
Yes, he'll hear. Well, let him hear. What can he do about it? The arming of natives is illegal. As I sit here, I can see the silhouetted figures of the natives, red with blood and firelight, moving about the remains of the elephant I have killed.
The tusks are free, Lord.
Good, Mfuzi. Clean and bring them here. We return at dawn.
But, Lord, is it not wise to go now? If the senor...
He'll come, and I shall be here to meet him. Don't ask me why, but I know that it is ordained that I should be here. Now go, Mfuzi. Fetch me those tusks.
Yes, Lord.
Maputo lit his pipe. It had just begun to draw when he heard the shouting. It came from the direction of the elephant. The crowd had changed in form. Instead of being spread out, it was drawn off into a solid mass facing one way. Then, there was a cry of terror. More cries. Maputo got up and moved towards the natives' fires. So, it had come already.
Stop that! Stop! You thief, you. I'll stop when I've smashed his arm, and then I'll smash the other.
Then, my poor friend, you'll go to prison.
And I shall go away. I've a chance to do so. But before I go, I'll give this man something to remember me by.
Stop him.
If you don't let go, Carlson, I'm going to hit you.
Hit me? You daren't. You did that once before, but never again. You seduce my servants and try and steal me ivory.
You little rat. You're free, Mfuzi. Now, get out of the way.
You dare to hit me?
You never were a very good fighter, were you, Carlson? Typical of the dirty little poacher you are.
I'll kill you!
Will you? That'll teach you to knock your boys about.
Are you well, Lord? Yes, it's gone.
Yes. And this'll teach you to leave other people's property alone. You'd overlook my rifle against this tree, hadn't you, Senor Maputo Smith? Now we'll see who's master. Now I can tell you what I think of you. You thief of ivory and your servant
stealer. The book, I think, is on the other foot. The arming of natives is illegal, and you know it. That's beside the point. It's the brutality of this business I can't stand, this indiscriminate wounding of elephants on the chance that they'll die. Oh, yes, I know they often do, in agony. But often they don't. And what does that mean to you? Nothing. All you want is ivory. Money. I almost believe you like blood.
Very interesting. For 15 years I've been waiting for this. And now I shall finish it and you'll see that no man can interfere with me.
You fool, you can't get away with murder.
Fool, fool, who the devil's a fool? Now pray. Make your peace with him. In a moment, you're gonna die.
From the light of the fire, I can see Carlson looking at me along the sights. His left eye is closed. I'm looking at him over the sights of his rifle, just the way that elephant looked at me. His finger tightens on the trigger.
It seems I arrived just in time.
Oh, Captain Carter, I'm certainly pleased to see you.
Yes, it is I. As usual, I arrived with punctuality at the moment of drama. I saw it all. I was afraid for you, my friend. For a moment, things looked bad for you. Did you not think so?
I did indeed.
It is regrettable that he should be dead. And yet, although I do not like a killing, where we are so few, a bad white man stands out, doing infinite harm to the rest. It was an affair of the heart, Senor Maputo?
No. No, Captain Cotter. It was the question of a bullet.
A bullet. And of course, since this elephant would have died anyway, and was illicitly killed by a native illegally in the possession of a rifle, I confiscate the ivory in the name of the government. You are agreeable, senor.
Agreeable? I'm charmed at being able to assist so efficient a servant of the government in the performance of his duty. But what about him?
That can lie there till morning. Then we will decide what to do with what is left of it. The government does not expect me to bury ivory poachers by the light of the moon. And besides, before he can be buried, there are papers to be filled in. A man, senor, cannot be buried without papers.
Join us again next week for another story of the African Bushveld. It might be fact, it might be fiction, in General Motors on Safari. Brought to you by General Motors South African, manufacturers of Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Chevrolet, Beaumont, Vauxhall, Opel, Holden, Bedford, and GMC Motor Vehicles.